Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm looking here at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that praying always, one translation I think in the Amplified, it says all manner of prayer. All manner of prayer. So you have different kinds of prayer. But one of the types of prayer you have is intercession or intercessory prayer. And another one is the prayer of agreement. Another one is a prayer of petition, all kinds of prayer. But prayer is one of the main ways that we get things done in the earth. Because everything you see has a spiritual root tied to it. And your job and mine is to cut that root. In other words, if it doesn't belong in heaven, it doesn't belong in earth. And so wherever God sends us, he wants us to establish heaven on earth. Now, tonight, facing the giants. My wife is on her way. I wanted to bring me a little book. I thought it was a really good little book. I've had it for years, and I go back to it. And it's about your image and walking in dominion. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, this is God creating the heavens and the earth. Now he's creating mankind. And he said in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, this, what he gave mankind, and let me get my notes here because it's all on one page. That's a miracle right there within itself. Now, what God gave man. Now, before God gave man power, before he gave him authority, before he gave him dominion, first he gave him an image. Now that is worth thinking about. He gave him his own image. He took a selfie. Are y'all with me? It was a self picture that he gave him. And When Adam sinned, I think that was the most valuable thing he lost. He lost his fellowship. He lost his provision. He lost his assignment in the garden. But I think the most valuable thing that he lost was his self-image, the image of God. And I think it is so valuable until the devil does maintenance on your image almost 24 hours a day. Because he knows your correct image is the key to everything else working like it's supposed to. Are y'all with me on this? Now, like I said, I'm not going to talk long on this because I want to just give you something to think about. I think sometimes I cover a whole lot of things and people miss maybe the essential things that you'd be thinking about. But when Adam fell, he no longer saw himself as God saw him. In fact, he ran from God and hid himself, he and Eve. And when God asked him what happened, he started pointing the finger at Eve, the woman you gave me. So it's interesting, let's come over to Numbers chapter 13. And over in Numbers chapter 13, it says, when they came back from spying out the land of Canaan, they began to talk about the giants and how big the giants were. We're talking about facing the giants now. And then Caleb and Moses and Joshua had a different report. They said, hey, verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up what kind of report? An evil report. Watch this. Evil report in the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Now, what are we trying to bring out? That how you see yourself is how others will see you. It's very interesting. I used to know this guy. We were in high school. And I could honestly say, now I'm not reflecting negatively on anybody. Say amen, somebody. Amen. But this guy was not the most handsome guy you could see, you could find. Okay? I'm going to just leave it like that. But he had the prettiest girls. I say, how is Willie getting these women? But you know what? Willie thought he was the prettiest thing. Really? Pretty Willie is what they call him. No. Are you following what I'm saying? I said, something happens to people when they devalue themselves. It's like the environment begins to devalue them. That is one of the biggest things I think right now people are fighting today, is how properly to see themselves properly as God sees them. Let's just do a little more work with that. You will see all men through your own self-picture. See them all. Through your own self-picture. How you see them. Now I told you I was I was in the military, and I went in there, and I said, Hank, I don't believe nobody can beat me flying. But I think I'll get Top Gun. Then I came in computers. I don't think anybody can beat me selling these computers. I think I'll get Top Salesman. I don't care what color you are. It doesn't make any difference. See, it's a selfie. How do you see yourself? You will treat others as you see yourself. If you don't like yourself, you're going to hurt somebody. You're going to abuse, you're going to be talking about them, you're going to so forth. It's only a reflection of how you see yourself. We were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. And so were we in this. You'd be surprised what people do to themselves because of a poor selfie. Sometimes I see them and I just shake my head. Lord have mercy. Talking about abusing themselves. Trying to look good enough for somebody else. When they don't know it, that it's in their image. Because Willie didn't look good. He didn't, man. I said, where Willie getting on these fine women, man? Something's up here. I'm not, do you understand? I'm not talking down about anybody. It's not that. Image is more than physical. So people do all kinds of stuff, weird stuff, man, trying to look a certain way because of their selfie. And so God, the first thing he did before he gave you power, gave you authority, gave you an assignment, gave you provision, and gave you fellowship, is he gave you an image. Because God has a problem fellowshipping with a person who sees themselves low and low and without real esteem. Yeah. And you will too. Your son or your daughter, you don't want them to come to you crying, please, you know, like somebody who you don't know. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Praise God. That's daddy. Folks, people take it to the grave, trying to be something for somebody else. And let me tell you, you'll never be good enough. Just so forget it. You may as well go ahead and be you. Oh, Charles Capps put out a book, and I'm not advertising books now, but it's called a little book. Charles Capps has gone on to be with the Lord, but he put out a little book called God's Image of You. Little book. Every now and then I come back and read it. Because how you see yourself is directly related to how God can pass his power through you. It's directly related. Righteousness. First thing about righteousness is I'm right with God. You got two sons. One of them said, Dad, give me the money, I'm out of here. Give me my inheritance. So he gave it to him. This is over in Luke chapter 15. So he went out. But he spent all he had. Ran out of money. People gave him a job feeding hogs or whatever have you. Meaning that, you know, people feed poultry all the time. But my point to you is he was living much below his privileges. But then the Bible says he came to himself. He said, you know, I'm going home. Because the servants in daddy's house are doing better than this. I'll just be a servant. So he went home. Dad saw him coming a long ways off, ran to him, hugged and kissed him, brought him on in. And he said, Dad, you don't know what I've done. I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the servants. Dad said, I'm not going to even answer that. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Now, you see what the son was trying to do? He was trying to peddle a Babylonian system into daddy's house. See? He was trying to get dad to look at him the way the world does. Dad said, no way. You're not a servant. You're a son. You're not a slave. You're my offspring. So I don't care who and how you were born. I don't care what the DNA was that was passed down from your parents. I don't care what so forth and so on. Now you need to say, wait a minute, I'm born again. I need to take new ownership of who I really am and go back to my real roots, which are in Jesus Christ. Say amen to that. Amen. I mean, it's all right to take your own family tree and family roots and so forth, but let the biggest thing that's in your mind be the fact that you are a child of God. Amen. Folks, I really believe that this image has a lot to do with dominion. It has a lot to do with what Satan can put on you. Amen. A lot to do with it. Because he comes to what? Steal. Come on. Kill. Destroy. Let's look at one. Let's go to Job chapter 1. How we doing? Doing okay? Over in Job chapter 1. And it says here, and watch this. And this Job chapter 1, I'll start reading. I won't start at the beginning. I'll just kind of tell you what happened. You can start at the beginning yourself. Let's start at verse 5. And it says this. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Watch this. This did Job do what? Continually. See, a lot of things start coming in. Shame of how his kids were acting. Why? Because it just said that Job was an upright man. He went to a Pentecostal holiness church. Yeah, see. And to have his kids drinking and smoking, so forth, so on, like it I'm sure it started working on him. So he started sacrificing every day. Now he's drifting into guilt, shame, unbelief, and so forth. Now the image is leaving. Now I want you to see this. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? And thou hast blessed, underline blessed, the work of his hands, that's a barakah, the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Right there, people with the wrong image, you think that God just sicked Satan on Job. You know what I mean by that? No. God told the truth to Satan. God's not hiding truth. all these hands in your hand. In other words, the wall is down in his life. The shield of faith has dropped. Why? Because his righteousness has dropped. Are you with me? See, if you don't have the right image, you won't interpret right. Next thing you know, you think God's putting Satan on Job. Listen. Satan is self-employed. God is not employing Satan. God teaches you with his word. Now look what happened. Watch this. And that was the day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking and so forth. I won't go any further with that. Let's go over to chapter 2. And that was the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them, so forth and so on. All right? Look what Satan did this time. And verse 7. So went Satan forth of the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils and sore from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd and to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Why don't you curse God and what? Die. Oh, have mercy. Then he said unto her, you speaketh as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, when the three, well, let's stop right there. Now, who brought sickness to Job? Satan. If he brought sickness to Job, is it possible that he can still bring sickness today? Are you with me now? So, when things drop, it can open the door to sickness coming. All right, let me just give you another one. Now, it's, y'all kind of hard. I can feel it. I'm trying to get you warmed up here, praise God. How about when they were going to the other side in the ship? Jesus got with him, went to the other side. Jesus fell asleep. What came on them? A storm. Am I right about it? What was the storm going to do to them? What was the intent of Satan with the storm to do? He was going to kill them. What did Jesus do to the storm? He rebuked the storm. What did they do to the storm? Nothing. They cried out for what? Fear. All right? And Jesus turned to him and said, I don't understand. Why is it that you have no faith? You with me? I'm telling you, faith flows with righteousness. It flows like a flood, and it'll stop anything from coming into your house. Say amen to this now. Now, the problem is that Satan capitalizes on our ignorance. See? And ignorance of who we are, ignorance of the fact that we can develop faith to stop things from coming into our bodies, so forth and so on. And he capitalized on it. God never intended for Satan's sickness to come on you to teach you something. Satan's trying to kill you. You know? So when something comes on you, what are you going to do? You got to rebuke it. Say amen to this. He said to you, resist the devil. Didn't he say that? He didn't say he was going to resist it for you. When you jump into faith, then the battle shifts to him, and he'll move it out. But you have to resist it in faith. Are y'all with me now? So let's go back to this again. He said, now, in our own sight, we're as grasshoppers, and so are we in their sight. So I saw that the first thing that I got to get straight with God is my own identity. I gotta know who I am. So I look in this Bible and I begin to see all the places where I'm in Christ, and as he is, so am I in this world, and how he had Peter to get out of the boat and walk on water just like him and so forth. And I didn't take all of that and just pass it up. I began to look at that as me. That's me. Say amen. Amen. That's me. Folks, you think it's something. You get before a whole lot of people, and if you don't know who you are, that devil will try to shut you down. Yeah, he'll try to shut you down. He'll try to make you not be profitable or try to make you so forth. And all the time, God meant for you to be all these things. Say amen to that. So before he gave him authority, before he gave him power, before he gave him whatever he gave him, he then first gave him an image. Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 30. You know, I got a guy that I'm kind of working out with now, and I told him, I said, I want to be like that comic book. So he sent me a picture. Go get my telephone out of the cup. See, y'all laughing. Y'all better stop laughing. This we're in our fasting period now. We're trying to get you down to your fighting weight. But he sent me a picture. I don't know, in my day, they had these pictures of Charles Atlas. They had Atlas. Come on now. And so forth. Well, I'm taking a selfie here. Listen, I am the image of God, but I got to get my body to cooperate with that. So, let me just do this and maybe they can throw it up there. Praise God. Hold on just a minute. Don't go anywhere. You got to put the picture up there. All right, hold on. This is going all over the world. Yeah, say yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. They need to hear see this. Okay. All right. Here you go. Tell them to put this up there. Got it? Yeah. Say amen.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. See, some people think, well, you got to be 20 years old to be like that. Who said that? Wait a minute. Who said that? Did God say that? Or did your friend down the street say that? Don't forget about Willie. Y'all with me here? Yeah. Okay, that's good enough. All right. Come on now. Just give it up. Yeah. It's all right to have fun in church. But when that image is right, the power flows. All right. Where did I tell you to turn?
John 10.
All right. 10:30. All right. Look at that. We'll read a few verses. I and my Father, come on.
One.
Wow. Now Jesus is operating in this image, see? He's going all the way back to Adam. Hey, he took that selfie. He's going to be just like God. What? He's going to have God's nature. Watch this. Watch this. He's going to have God's sense of ownership. Because God, he's going to have God's sense of rulership over everything. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. Am I right about it? What happened when he threw that net out to Peter? Didn't all those fish attack that net? What happened when he was short of tax money? Didn't he go and look in a fish's mouth? That's rulership over the fish. You got that. Let me come over here. You got that. That's next verse. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And I believe they were prompted by the devil. Get this man off the earth. Because he's going to affect people's lives. Let me say, he's going to infect people's lives. If they hang around him long enough, they're going to start talking like him, thinking like him, and acting like him. Next. And Jesus said to them, many good works have we shown thee of my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone you not, but for what?
Blasphemy.
And because that thou being a man, come on, make thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. Ah, goodness. Say amen to that. Look what he said to Moses. He had to change his image, see. Look at Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. He had to go to his image because he told Moses, go tell Pharaoh. Moses said, I can't talk. He said, Moses, who made your mouth? What do you mean? Look what he said. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you a what?
God.
To Pharaoh. You got to see yourself that way. So from now on, carry a mentality of superiority. I don't care where you came from. Gideon tried to cop out. He said, Lord, I'm the poorest among the people my family is, and I'm the poorest in the family. I'm the least thought of. I'm the stupidest one in the bunch. You know, that occurred to me, that God can touch your mind. I used to hear that in that old church down there in Tuskegee, that he's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. And I look at this. I'm hitting a nerve with these old preachers up here. And I didn't know what he was talking about. But I had to figure this out. Wait a minute. Remember in Daniel chapter 4, read it when you get a chance. But he said, the prophet Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, that dream you had, God's going to take you out of your place of the king of this kingdom. He's going to change your mind to be like an animal and put you out in the field to eat grass, and hair will grow on you like an ox for 7 years. Then he's going to bring you back in and put you back up. Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind for 7 years. Then at the 7-year point, got it back. I said to myself, you can go in the poorest community in Chicago. And if you know how to pray the blessing, you can take people who didn't go to fourth grade. You can take them, and God can put something in them, because we were talking about taking computers, because I told them I want to take these computers and I want to set some places up in some of the churches that are around, and I want to give these people some skills so that they can get some good jobs. Are you following what I'm saying? And I said, Tony gets, and somebody said, well, you know, they probably can't learn computers. I got a God. That's a heart fixer. Come on now. And a mind regulator. If he could take those people on the day of Pentecost, and here they were that never spoke in those languages before in their lives. Are you following what I'm saying? And God can take them, and he can make it so they pour out of this place speaking in a language that they never went to school to learn. And if he can do that with them and fix their mind with one sweep, he can fix the mind of the worst gang leader out there. Come on now. But you and I have to have the kind of image that we believe that. Didn't he say with God? If he said all things, what does that leave? That leaves nothing. Nothing. Are y'all with me? When you don't have the right image, you don't think right. don't think right about people, and you sure don't think right about God. You can read the same word I read and not shout. Are y'all with me here? Let me just cover a little bit more. Can I get a little bit more here? Praise God. So, next, let's look at David. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Glory to God. The Creator has designed you in His image. Say, I am made in His image. Okay. So the concept of yourself must line up with what He says you are. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So your family might have passed down some genes and traits, but you're in a new family. And God has just passed down His nature to you. So before you can fulfill your purpose, you have to see yourself as God sees you. Isn't this good? Say,
I have
a superiority mentality.
I am the
righteousness of God
in Christ Jesus.
Every battle that I get in,
the verdict has already been given.
In my favor.
From this day.
I will
be
who
God says I
am.
And I will see myself
as God sees me.
From this day.
I am
a child
of Almighty God.
Everything that's in Him
is in me.
And I'm going to walk it out.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Two things.
And we'll go.
Look at
1 Samuel. 1
Samuel chapter 17.
Isn't this good?
Oh, yeah.
I told you about that story.
Man came,
he was going to preach at a
different city, and he came
to that city, he flew in
on the airplane, and
they were supposed to pick him up
from the church.
And they came and
looked for him and didn't
see him, and looked for him and
didn't see him.
After about an hour,
there was
a man over standing over
against the wall by
the luggage, where
you get your luggage.
And
he asked him, he said,
"Hey, excuse me,
did you
see a gentleman come off
here, so-and-so
name, so-and-so,
would you just
happen to have seen?"
He said,
I'm the
person.
He said,
"You're him?"
He said,
"Sir,
you
don't look anything
like your picture."
And
what happened?
The guy
had forwarded them a
picture of himself,
the preacher,
and it was
back when he had a
big old afro
and all this,
so forth and so on.
Are you
following what I'm saying?
So
I'm saying
we need to look
like our picture.
Watch this.
Because
your picture's in the
paper.
Folks,
I guarantee
you, when you're up against
a battle and it looks
like you lose, or it looks
like you're not winning, it looks
like you're not getting anywhere
in life and so forth,
go back to your
selfie.
I guarantee
you go back to
righteousness and
start studying
the image of God
and who He says you
are and so forth,
you'll run out
of there chewing
nails. Boy,
you'd be out
there.
Don't forget
about Willie.
All right?
Look what it says.
I said, "Man."
Another guy.
I said,
What he
got?
Willie
thought he was
God's gift
to the world.
Willie
didn't even look at you.
He always looked up.
Okay,
let me go.
Okay,
all right.
But
y'all get the message.
You get the message.
You can lead
a beautiful
life.
If you see
yourself beautiful.
I'm not
talking about how
the hairdresser just did your
hair.
I'm not talking about that. It's inside. So here's David. I'm not going to go through it. But two people, David, and David came, and Saul tried to hang his armor on him. Why? Because he's trying to make David into his image. David said, wait a minute, you don't understand. With my bare hands, I slayed a lion. He tried to take a sheep, one sheep. And all the sheep that I'm supposed to keep, none of them get away. Watch this. And I slayed a bear. This with my bare hands. Then he said, I know that I can take this giant. And David, the Bible says, ran to the battle. And I think when you don't have the right image, you run from the battle. Okay, you got me? And the Bible says he took a stone, put it in a sling. Now he said five times what he was going to do before he did it, because that's the way faith works. And he slung that stone. The Bible says the stone sunk into the man's hand. Now you know how hard, I've been hit in the head with a rock. Some of y'all thinking that's why he acts like that. No, I've been hit in the head with a rock. But my point to you is, watch this. But my point to you is, that rock put a big hickey on my head. I've been hit in the head with a bat. The guy swung, hit the ball, and the bat slipped out of his hand. Woo, 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 boom. He took me to the hospital, but big knot and so forth. Now you know. Okay, but anyway, watch this. What was I about to say here? Oh, but the rock sunk into his head. Do you know how fast that rock was picked up by angels? Watch this. And had the velocity of a 44 Magnum. Right into his head. Giant instantly died. Then David didn't stop. He goes and gets the giant's sword. Because his sword was in his mouth. And he took that sword and cut his head off and took that head and paraded it back in the camp. Saul got so jealous, he wanted to kill him. How about Joseph? Joseph, Genesis 37. Joseph had a dream. And when he had that dream, guess what happened? Told it to his brothers. That dream, God could funnel it through him because of his image. Say amen. And I'm just telling you right now, get your image up so we can get your inheritance. And you can slay the giants. Give the Lord a praise. That's what we got. I said, that's what we got. Say it. I am. What the Bible says I am. I can do. What the Bible says I can do. I have. What the Bible says I have. From this day forward, I will see myself as God says I am. And I will not be talked out of it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're here, God's spoken to you about being born.